You're listening to You've Got This, episode 207. Welcome to You've Got This, a weekly podcast for higher education professionals looking to increase their confidence and capacity for juggling the day-to-day demands of an academic life. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Linder. In this episode, I thought I would offer a little bit of a deeper dive and an update on my yoga teacher training and how it has been going and what is next for this kind of portion of my professional development and my personal development. So I've talked about in a couple different episodes how I signed up for this yoga teacher training in June of 2020. And the first portion of it completes in September of 2020. And as I record this, this is September. And then I start a second round. I decided to go into a second round of yoga teacher training in October, and then that will run through at least February of 2021. So if you know absolutely nothing about yoga teacher training, let me give you just kind of a brief description of the structure of it. So in yoga teacher training, there's basically what they call 200-hour training and then 300-hour training, and those lead to what can be a 500-hour credential. And these credentials are through something called the Yoga Alliance, which you do not have to register with. It's just a nonprofit. But a lot of places where you might teach yoga would want you to have this credential through the Yoga Alliance. And so there are a lot of yoga teacher training programs that are registered through the Yoga Alliance where you can pursue yoga teacher training. And the way that I've heard it described is that yoga teacher training at the 200 level is kind of like a bachelor's degree in yoga, where you start to learn kind of the fundamentals of the history and the philosophy of yoga, and you start to get a sense of the physical aspects of yoga, because there are 8 limbs of yoga and the physical component is kind of one. What we think about is like typical yoga poses and things like that, or what is called asana, is just kind of one of 8 pieces of yoga that you would learn about. But we often associate yoga with kind of that physical practice. So in my 200 level training, what we've been focusing on is things that are kind of the logistics of yoga, like cueing, for example. How do you describe what people should be doing in certain kinds of poses? But we're also learning about kind of the lineages of yoga and different forms of yoga. So for example, there's a kind of yoga called vinyasa that a lot of people are very familiar with, where you have kind of a flow and you flow between one pose and another pose. And then there are other kinds of yoga. One of my favorites is called yin, and it's more of a restorative kind of yoga where you actually sit in one pose for like 3 to 5 minutes at a time. And you're not really flowing from one pose to another. You're more like sitting in that pose to get at some deep tissue stretching. So there's all these different kinds of forms. And if you look around online, if you go to like YouTube or something like that, you're gonna see a lot of different options of different kinds of yoga that you can do. One of the more popular forms now, I think, is what is called power yoga, which is basically like yoga as a workout. I'm less interested in that, I'll be honest. I really like the restorative yoga more, which is a lot more restful and kind of calming. And that's the stuff that I really enjoy. But you can definitely do all these different kinds of forms when it comes to yoga. So once you go into a 300-hour yoga teacher training, or at least the one that I'm signed up for, you start to go into a lot more depth around things that are maybe the foundations of choices that you would make when creating yoga sequences or when kind of working with students in a yoga studio. So for example, we're learning a lot about the chakras and the energy fields within the body and how you might choose different kinds of postures that would align with different kinds of chakras. So like that's an example of the kinds of things that we learn in the 300 hour. You also begin to have a better understanding of things like meditation, if that's something that you're wanting to include in your yoga practice or in your yoga teaching, and things like chanting, if that's something that you would want to include in your teaching of yoga as well. Now, as you can imagine, when you're kind of learning all this new information, there's a lot of cultural history and a lot of concerns about things like cultural appropriation. And so everybody who kind of comes through these kinds of trainings will have to consider that and make some decisions about, you know, what they feel comfortable with in terms of using these different elements in their own practice and in their teaching of yoga. The other thing that I found really fascinating, and that I'm kind of digging into more now that I'm understanding kind of some of the basics of yoga and yoga teaching, is how to make yoga accessible for all different kinds of bodies. And this is something that I think has become a lot more popular in the last maybe 5 to 10 years. You're going to see, you know, some books on this topic. You're going to see a lot of people in like the body positivity movement talking about this. And there's a lot of really interesting information about what this looks like. I really appreciate this because I think that there's definitely a limitation when we think about yoga as only being done in certain kinds of ways and with certain kinds of bodies, that there's only kind of like one way to do a posture, or there's, you know, certain kinds of ways that we would glorify doing a posture. And one of the things I've really appreciated about the yoga teacher training that I am going through right now is there's a lot of emphasis on using props. There's a lot of emphasis on kind of modifying poses in ways that really kind of support two key things. One is lengthening the spine, and the second is really encouraging a really deep breath within that posture. And for a lot of reasons, and like flexibility and anatomy are just a couple of them, it's not always easy to have a length of spine and to have a deep breath and to be able to approach that within a posture. And so I really like having all of this awareness around what are all the things you could do to help a client or a student of yoga to be able to engage in the physical practice of yoga in a way that really helps them to do those two things, lengthen their spine and have a deep breath engagement. So I will link to my yoga teacher training in the show notes if you're kind of intrigued by this. It is a fully online training. And I think I mentioned a little earlier on that that was really one of my motivations for doing this right now. I had not thought about doing a yoga teacher training at the beginning of 2020, or I don't really ever. I mean, I think it was maybe something on my bucket list, but it wasn't something that I was kind of thinking seriously about. But once the pandemic started and I got pretty deep into my yoga practice, I thought, you know, this might actually be something I want to do right now, because in the past, Yoga Alliance had not counted these online trainings as being eligible for their kind of credentialing system. But because of the pandemic, they did become eligible. And so that was why I also decided to do my 300-hour training as well during this period. Now, I think that one of the other things that I thought about and I kind of talked about with my partner in making this decision was, for me right now with my career, it doesn't really feel possible for me to do some of these kind of more retreat-like yoga teacher trainings where you would go away for like multiple weekends, or you would spend like 3 weeks somewhere and do a 300-hour training. And that was kind of my awareness of what these trainings were, was a really large amount of time where you would have to kind of take time out of your job to do this. And that didn't really seem possible for me. And especially right now during this COVID period, it really didn't seem possible for me to do that. But to be able to have this fully online program, it did make it seem a lot more accessible and manageable that I could do that. So the online portion of this has actually been really interesting to kind of see how it's been done. This is a program that has been functioning online for about 5 years. And so they've gotten a lot of different kind of elements that they've added to it over time. But basically, there is a series of live calls that you attend every week. There is quite a bit of content, like any online class, that you watch and kind of engage with on your own. And some of that content is like lecture style content, and some of that content is what is called body reading, which is basically the instructor of the course looking at photos of different yoga poses and postures and explaining how they are, you know, either kind of working or not working based on that concept of lengthening the spine and keeping the body in alignment and integrity with that particular posture. And the cool thing about this program, and one of the things I really appreciated about it, is you do get to see a lot of different kinds of people doing a lot of different kinds of poses. And they don't all have the same anatomy. They don't all have the same flexibility. And there are a lot of different ways to do a pose, quote unquote, right, and still have it look really different than another person. And so being able to see the range of that has been really helpful for me. Whereas I think if I had gone to an in-person yoga teacher training with a bunch of really experienced yoga folks who were like super flexible, I wouldn't have seen that. I wouldn't necessarily have been able to see the range of what my students can look like. And so that's kind of interesting. So the other thing you might have kind of heard through this conversation is definitely kind of a shift in my own attitude about what am I going to be using this yoga teacher training for. When I originally went into it, I definitely was not feeling a level of confidence about like practicing as a yoga teacher. I really was pursuing this as a way to formalize my own kind of training and education around yoga and to feel like I had basics and foundations for my own practice, my own personal practice. That has definitely happened. I feel a lot more aware of kind of what my own body is doing when I'm doing the physical practice of yoga. But over this period of time, I have also really gained a level of confidence about what does it mean to help other people to engage in the physical practice of yoga and how can I cue them appropriately. And one of the things I was always kind of curious about going into this was what is the overlap between especially the physical practice of yoga and my coaching practice. Because over this summer, I also was studying somatic coaching, which is a form of embodied coaching. And I really thought yoga had the potential of having some kind of interesting overlap. So I've been kind of paying attention to that as I've been going throughout this program. And it was part of the reason I decided to stay on with a 300-hour, because part of the 300-hour program is also a little bit about business building and how do you actually start to create a career around this. Now, I'm not necessarily jumping that far. Let me be clear. I'm not gonna like quit my job and open a yoga studio, at least not yet. I'm not gonna say never for that. But I am in a situation where I already have a business that is thriving and I want to consider how do I merge or kind of transition some of those pieces of the business to be connected to yoga. And I felt like the 300 hour with those business elements tied into it would help me to think about that. And I really do like having that structured, more formal way of thinking about things and having some people to kind of bounce ideas off of. So I would say, you know, kind of surprisingly to me, I've definitely shifted into more of a mode where I'm feeling like, okay, I might actually be wanting to teach this, but definitely more on my own terms. And at least for right now, probably not in person because of what is happening with the pandemic. But as I mentioned in a previous episode, and I'll go ahead and link to this here as well in the show notes, I am planning to do a virtual retreat that kind of combines planning for the new year and yoga practice into one event. And I'm gonna try it and kind of see how it goes. And I think that it's a little bit challenging to do these kinds of things, you know, virtually and to not be kind of physically present with a student that you're working with. But I'm also really kind of up for that challenge and I'm curious to see how it's going to go. So at least for right now, that is what's next when it comes to this yoga teacher training. I'm going to be trying out some virtual events with it. I might also consider taking on some private students if that was something my clients were interested in. If there were people who wanted to have kind of some one-on-one engagement around yoga, and I'll be required to do that as part of the 300 hour as well. I need to do some client engagement before I can graduate. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that and seeing what that will hold. But for now, I can just say I'm really, really enjoying this learning experience. It's been very fun to kind of figure out a totally different thing that I felt like I started out just not knowing very much about at all. And there's still so much to learn. I definitely don't feel like an expert, but I do feel like I have enough confidence to kind of keep growing on the foundation that I've been given. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where it goes. So I would love to hear if you have questions about this. I'll definitely link to things in the show notes, like I mentioned. And I would also love to hear if you're tackling anything new in terms of your own learning for your personal or professional development. I always think it's really fun to hear about what other people are really focused on and excited about. You can always email me at hello@drkatielinder.com. You can tweet to me at katie_linder. You can connect with me on Instagram at katie_linder. And any way you contact me, I always love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of You've Got This. Show notes and a transcript for this episode can be found at katielinder.work/podcasts. If you found this episode helpful, please also consider rating and/or reviewing the show in iTunes. Thanks for listening.